is the day which the Lord has made. We will Holy cow, that was powerful. Okay, no need to do that again. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. That's His word. That's His scripture. Now, today as we come forward, we're coming from different areas and different backgrounds. Look around. We are so different. We are young and old. Shouldn't have said it that way. Sorry. There's younger and older people here. We're a variety of ages. How's that? I'm taking a vacation again. I'm sorry, guys. Just start over. But we're coming from a couple different backgrounds. Some of you are saying, Lord, where I am today, please, would you take me back to where I was? What does that mean? That means, Lord, I'm going through things today that I don't want to be going through. And if you could take me back where I first knew you, to a time and place when things were good, when I walked with you. And others are saying today, Lord, praise you. Please don't ever take me back to the place where I was. God, addictions, sin, habits that I don't want to have, financial issues, relationship struggles, illnesses, disease. Lord, please don't ever take me back to that place. You see, when we come together, we're coming from different places. We have to remember that when we come together. Some are saying, Lord, please take me back to a place where I was before I started going through the trials that you took me through. And others are saying, Lord, please don't ever allow me, let me go back to a place where I was when I didn't know you or I didn't follow you or I didn't believe you enough. But the gospel message is relevant to both. Would you not agree? It is relevant to both parties. And there's a variety of places in between there that we come from. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 says this, and I'm going to read this. This isn't our main scripture, but you can turn there if you'd like. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I read it a while back while I was gone these last couple weeks. I've experienced death of co-workers. I did a funeral for someone I used to work for many years ago. And I was referred back to this by the Holy Spirit. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And I remember I used this in a message several months ago as well, but it's applicable again. There's going to be scriptures that are repeated throughout time. But it says, praise be the Father of compassion. When we were at a church last week, the pastor said, compassion hurts. It is hard and it hurts. And why does it hurt? Because it makes us remove ourselves from the front of compassion. We have to put somebody else first. And when we share and show compassion to others, it means we've got to take ourselves and put ourselves out of the way. And it hurts. And it's hard to do at times. Could you imagine being the head of Compassion International? What a heavy task they have. Compassion hurts, but we have a great person, the Father of compassion. Jesus Christ, when He went around and He showed compassion on many. Now, He was harsh with some, but He showed compassion on many. And what did that require Him to do? Remove Himself from the highlight. Verse 5 says, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. Uh-oh. That first group I mentioned. God, please take me back to a place where I was before the suffering and the trials that you're taking me through. But verse 5 says, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. Could that not have said, while we share just a little bit in the sufferings of Jesus? But it says, we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. So also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, listen carefully, if you are distressed today, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. Whew, that is a hard one. That is a hard one, church. Anyone come here today distressed about anything? Man. Well, it's for your comfort. What comfort is that? If you're distressed, that's for your comfort. Oh, and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. Yeah, that's what I want to hear when I'm going through a time of distress. Patient endurance. But it says it produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We have to look past the first thing in there. We say, man, God says, man, I am your comforter. I'm your provider. I'm your comforter. I'm giving you comfort. Why? So that when you see someone else in need, you can provide them with comfort. Just like I showed you in your time of need. It is very difficult for me to show you something if I haven't been through it. Now I can do it. We all can do it to a certain degree, but those that have been through things can show it greater if they've come through it victoriously. And so we want to focus on comfort, but we can't look past or skip. We can't just look to the comfort and say, okay, give me the comfort. We have to look at who that comfort comes from. And we have to know that God gives the comfort for us. I tried to share with this young lady in one of our stores whose husband left work Friday, walking out to his vehicle from work, and died of a massive heart attack there in the parking lot. Not at our work, but at his work. What do you say? What do you do? Sometimes there's not a whole lot you can say and do. There's, you know, you can be there. What do I say? Nothing sometimes. Just be there. But I sent her this scripture. And I said, I pray that in time you find comfort from the Father. That only He can give. I can't give it. Your co-workers cannot give it. Our owner cannot give it. Only God can give it. And you will receive that in your time. And now, although you have sorrow today, it says He brings joy when? In the morning. And His mercies are new when? Every day, every morning, His mercies are new. We have to know who the source comes from. Now, all that is kind of getting us to a place to say, we come from these different backgrounds. If you would turn over in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And it's right after 1 Peter. And that's really what we're talking about today. A very short scripture in there we're going to talk about. Now, as you're turning there, I want you to think about a time and place when you met the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. You experienced Him for the first time, or maybe in the greatest way in your life. And remember that energy and excitement you felt. And remember that drive you felt to learn more about Him. I want to go someplace. I want to sit in classes. I want to praise Him all day long. Oh my gosh, what do you mean I have to sleep? I want to praise Him some more. And think about that first encounter, that most powerful encounter you had with the Savior Jesus Christ. Now for many, you think that is a great time. For some, they think some people find Him when they are at their lowest. Well, praise God, they found Him there. But wherever you were, think about that. Think about that encounter. Now I want you to think, do you still have that energy and excitement today? I can remember last January coming and going, oh my gosh, it's a brand new year. I'm so excited. And throughout the year going, I'm still excited. It's November, I'm still excited. Do we have that same energy and excitement facing our life day in and day out that we had when we first encountered Him? Eric knows back in the Ground Zero days, I'd always say, if so, why? If not, why not? But I like to ask ourselves those questions. If we don't have that same level of excitement, why is it? I want to put banners out on the street that said, remember when you left church? Why'd you leave? Return. Something like that. Remember someone that made you leave church? I don't think they're at this church. Come here. Whatever. To make people think about, why did they quit going to church? Why did people lose energy and excitement about the Savior? Do you still have that today? So 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to the tail end of that. Verse 22. It's the last verse. Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Good grief, what message is around that? Renew and restore. The sow was washed. Where did the sow go? Back to the same place. Let me just go wallow in the mud. The dog threw up and then went over and lapped it up. Yeah. You think they're talking about animals there? Well, they are, but it's in reference to us. We do the same thing. We don't go back to the place we were that we don't like because we like it there. We go back to the place where we were because it's familiar. And also, oh man, it just feels comfortable. I fit in it a certain way. But here, I don't fit in well. I stand out. I don't know what it is. So I go back to the same old way. Not because it's better, because it's familiar and it's comfortable. This verse is referring to our true nature. And that's what I want to talk about today. Wherever we come from, whatever story we are, Lord, please take me back to a place where I was before I had to deal with all this. Or, Lord, don't ever take me back to that place. I never want to be in that place. Wherever we come from, the nature of our relationship with Christ is what allows us or takes us or pulls us to go back to our vomit or our mud hole. You know, when you read this scripture, if you go back and read chapter 2, it's really talking about false teachers and their destruction. But it also is talking about our false faith, if you will. And it talks about us being allowed to be pulled away by false teachers, or really just our lack of strong faith that says, let me study this, let me look into this. So what I'm talking about today is our faith. And I'm talking about growing a strong faith. If you read verse 13 through 21, which we will, it says, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They're experts in greed. and accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words. And by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again, listen carefully, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then are again entangled in it, and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. And then it goes into our scripture about a dog returns to its vomit and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Now what they're talking about in the narrow way, Matthew 7 verse 13 and 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Many get to that point. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few get to that point that find life. When we find Jesus Christ, it's up to us to strengthen our faith. And it's up to us to start reading the Word, learning it, and knowing it. So when we hear something that doesn't line up, we can say that does not line up with this, because this applies today just like it did 2,000 years ago. This applies to your situation today just like it did 2,000 years ago. No matter what you're facing, that is not new to God's Word. Your escape from that is not new to God's Word. Says this stuff is common. It just keeps going through giant cycles. Sometimes hundreds of years. Sometimes thousands of years. Sometimes generation after generation. It cycles over and over and over again. The teacher in this, in chapter 2, is leading falsely. But the believer is following falsely as well. And again, it goes to their nature. Their nature is not concrete. Their nature is weak. Their faith is weak. Those in Christ don't simply remove sin from their life. They grow and increase in their faith. Well, how do you do that? By God's power. Whose power? By God's power. Not their own. And they allow through submission. Oh, dang it. I've had a life of not submitting. Now I have to submit to this thing I can't see. I don't know. It's new to me. But they grow in their faith through God's power, by and through God's power, through submission and obedience, so that they themselves and their very nature is changed. Not just a brief thing. I'll never forget our men's breakfast. Mark Caldwell said, we talk about this new man, and we put on the new man. And Mark said, we talk about that as though we can take it off when we're tired of it. We've talked about that before. We take it off and we hang it on the treadmill that's now in the closet holding clothes. We take it off and we put it on that little cross that's in our closet. Remember that cross that we are supposed to pick up and carry daily? It's now become a clothes hanger for the new man. We say, I don't know about this. when we open ourselves to the power of Christ. We allow Him to transform us. You know, you can have an entire group say, oh, you screwed up at work, at home, at school, wherever, at church, wherever it is, out and about, in sports. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about Jesus standing there pointing out every fault, but at the same time we're saying, let Him shine His light to the areas where we need to grow. Where we need to grow. And every one of us, myself included, every one of us needs to grow. We're talking about a changed and a transformed and a renewed life. Not a perfect life. Again, remember that as we come together from all our backgrounds and all the things that we're dealing with in our life. You think for a second that we're the only ones dealing with an issue? Oh no, you've got something you're dealing with. I don't know it. And you've got something you're dealing with. I don't know it. And they don't know it. We have to remember that as we see people. As we come together for fellowship. And let me tell you, some things are, let me say it carefully, just problems or issues. And other things are much darker than that. And when I say darker, I'm talking about satanic. And I'm talking about darkness of depression and darkness of addiction. And darker things that aren't just, I'm going through an issue that will work itself out and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. I'm talking about, and I'm not saying none of our issues are important. I'm just saying we have to remember some are deeper and darker than that. And it's not enough to say, well, the scripture can say it, but it's not enough for me to say, be comforted, you're doing this for, you know, the glory of Christ. Man, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I'm sorry, I don't. But I know that His Word says that. But be careful as we use Scripture to comfort other people that it's not just empty words without compassion going along with it. You know, those I feel like this Scripture is talking about that were never changed or transformed, I'm thinking, were you really following Christ? Were you really His? I don't know. I can't judge that. That's between you and Him. He knows that and you know that. But a life that has accepted Christ says, I desire to be transformed. A dog returning to its vomit. It's not a better place. A sow returning to the mud after being washed. It's just familiar and comfortable. Sometimes warm. The other places are colder and they're more difficult. Some want that life they had before, and some don't ever want that life they had before. But all of us, no matter where we come from, all of us need the life that Jesus Christ died for so that we could have it. That we could have life everlasting. A life of abundance. Not just have life, but have it more abundantly. Every one of us, no matter what we're going through, needs that life. And we have that life if we simply call on Jesus, turn to Him, give our life to Him, give our problems to Him, and turn to Him. Not as a last resort, as the first resort. He meets us exactly where we are. But when He meets us where we are, when He meets us where we are, He does not want us staying there. His Scripture constantly is telling us to grow and renew and refresh and be restored. As we close today, I have just two things I want to bring out. This is a warning to those that struggle with pride. this group, more than any other group in the Christian faith, are prone to return over and over to their own vomit, to their own mud hole, unless or until you give God authority over your life. Until you give God authority over your life and allow Him to take the reins that you're trying so diligently to hold on to. Know this today. God doesn't just allow us to go through these trials. Sometimes, and His Word has said that a few times, He doesn't just say, man, I'll allow you to go through it. Sometimes God says, I'm not just going to allow you, but I'm going to take you through it. And I'm going to lead you into this trial. And we have to know that. We have to know that there's times when He says, I'm taking you into this trial. Remember, as we talked about the battles a couple weeks ago, He said, I could have given them a more direct path. You mean than the 40-year path? And He said, but I don't want to do that because God will take us through challenges and trials sometimes and take us through pain on His own. He's not allowing us to go through it. He is taking us to it and through it. But He'll be there through the entire thing. But He says He's doing this so that we can learn to rely on Him. And we can learn to trust Him. And that learning that we do strengthens our faith and allows the power of God to change our nature continuously. We don't have to go back and lap up our own vomit. He says, I have bread that only I can give, and that is life-sustaining bread. You don't need to eat that vomit. His Word is relevant today to each one of us, no matter where we stand today, no matter where we were yesterday, remember that, no matter where we were, and no matter where we want to be tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. Let me close with this last verse. Psalm 51. Eric read this Wednesday night. And it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. He says, create this, create it in me. He says, renew this within me. Do not cast me away. Take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me and grant me and sustain me. Stand and worship with us today. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Find opportunity this week to grow in compassion to one another. Amen. Have a great week.